This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Diplomacy and trade today as the president flies to the Middle East. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump travels to Saudi Arabia today, the first stop on his first foreign trip as president. A number of American CEOs are tagging along because it turns out there are deals to be done in Saudi Arabia. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports on the state of trade between the Gulf Kingdom and the U.S.
The U.S. actually had a slight trade surplus with Saudi Arabia last year, although now we're back to a deficit. CEOs from U.S. banks and other corporations are hoping to change that. They're scheduled to sign big deals at a Saudi investment summit scheduled to coincide with President Trump's visit.
We heard that there'll be 30 CEOs and $50 billion worth of deals.
That's international trade consultant Judith Barnett. She says U.S. banks have already landed contracts advising Saudi oil giant Aramco on an initial public offering. U.S. oil services and drilling companies want to do more business in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia wants to diversify its economy, and the Saudis prefer U.S. investors, according to Andrew Bowen of the American Enterprise Institute.
Unlike other emerging markets where U.S. companies have to compete, it's clearly the message that we want to do business with America.
Bowen says there is one hitch. Saudi Arabia's expansion plans depend on higher oil prices. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The FTSE index in London is up 0.4%. Stock index futures for the U.S. are up, plus 27 points or 0.1% for the Dow future. Crude oil is up 1.2% in New York to just under $50 a barrel. Now, there's a pattern. First, a grocery innovation by an upstart, a disruptor. Then the big grocery chains borrow the concept. This is happening now with these prepared meal kits, a market worth $1.5 billion. All the ingredients in a box, you whip it together in your kitchen. But now Blue Apron, Purple Carrot, and HelloFresh are contending with the big supermarket chains like Publix and Kroger. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Innovators like Blue Apron and Purple Carrot have tapped into the convenience consumers are hungry for. Chris Deering is with the trade publication Food Dive.
Consumers want their food pre-cut, pre-measured. They don't want to go through the time of having to do that. They want things as simple and easy for them as possible.
Blue Apron in particular has nailed proof of concept, going from 1 million meals a month 2 years ago to 8 million today. Grocery stores want to take a bite out of what analysts predict will become a $36 billion business by 2026. Economist Mike Mazzeo at Northwestern's Kellogg School says the supermarket chains are well positioned.
Supermarkets can get things at lower prices. They have access to all of the ingredients for these meals. They don't have to do marketing. They can just put it on their shelves.
This helps explain why Kroger's can offer a meal for two at $14 compared to Blue Apron's $20. As meal kit competition heats up, Mazzeo expects big players to eat up the small fries. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Should know there's a global anti-corruption standard called the Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. It's about disclosing who pays how much to whom in order to extract natural resources from public lands. Well, there's word from the U.S. Department of the Interior this week that the U.S. is set to flunk part of this transparency test, the bit about disclosing tax payments. This comes at a time the Trump administration is rolling back anti-corruption rules for oil and mining companies, seeing them as needless regulation. Now, as it happens, there's a new book out about pay for play across government and the private sector. Lawrence Cockcroft is co-author of Unmasked, Corruption in the West. He was one of the founders of the anti-corruption watchdog group Transparency International.
We're looking at the ways in which institutions become captured, both by money and by sentiment, and the ways in which public sector outcomes are determined by that. So this is not only a question of, for example, campaign finance, both in the U.S. and in Europe, but it's also a question of the lobbying industry.
So you see money in politics, the way it's currently played, as a form of corruption?
I would be prepared to argue, and we argue in the book, that the results of Citizens United and related legislation—
The big Supreme Court decision, yes.
Yep, and related legislation has created an atmosphere in which huge sums of money can be provided both by a very small number of people. I think 30,000 people supplied 25% of congressional and presidential funding in the last cycle. And that certainly is a quid pro quo in the sense that those people who are funding individual candidates expect a return, in this case, in terms of policy. What's at issue here is the way in which the public perceives this process. According to a very recent Pew survey in the U.S., 70% of the U.S. public considers political parties and national assemblies, in this case Congress, to be corrupt. And strangely enough, exactly the same figure of 70% has been found in very recent and very well-conducted surveys in Europe.
So money in politics, but you also talk about the corruption of sports, international soccer, football comes to mind, certainly. But with regards to American business relationships, doesn't the U.S. have strict rules about American companies greasing palms of foreign government officials?
Yeah, well, the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act passed in 1977 is an admirable act. And of course, the U.S. has persuaded all of the other members of OECD, a kind of rich nations club, to follow suit, and nearly all of them have done, at least on paper. So this has been a considerable achievement, which of course now is in danger of being undermined. The president has described that as a horrible act. And if that's the basis on which we're going to move forward, it will be a setback not only to from the U.S. perspective, but very much from the rest of the industrial world.
Economist Lawrence Cockcroft, along with political scientist Anne-Christine Wegener, wrote the book Unmasked, Corruption in the West. Mr. Cockcroft, thank you.
Thank you.
Staying with this theme for a second, the key stock index in Brazil fell nearly 9% yesterday after Brazilian newspapers claimed there's an audio tape of the Brazilian president offering to pay a guy hush money. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima, here to say a special thanks to those businesses and organizations that sponsor Marketplace. This support is what fuels our reporting and allows our independent journalism to thrive. If you think that your business would benefit from sponsoring Marketplace, check out marketplace.org/corporate. Fill out the short form and someone from Marketplace will follow up. That's marketplace.org/corporate.